We start with legal news. A court appearance scheduled today for Alexander Sumner, the UNC student who was subject to a highly controversial arrest last month. Sumner's accused of buying alcohol with a fake ID, but it was the manner of his arrest that got people upset. A photo on social media showed Sumner face down on the sidewalk with two plainclothes ALE agents kneeling on him, a use of force so strong that one onlooker called Chapel Hill police on the ALE agents. An ALE spokesperson said the use of force in that case is currently being reviewed. No word yet on how that is proceeding. On campus, the Daily Tar Heel this week is reporting again on a nearly $1 billion backlog in deferred maintenance for UNC buildings, an issue that's starting to affect students' ability to access their own classes. DTH quoted a wheelchair-bound student who had to miss a class in Hamilton Hall because none of the building's elevators were working. The article says no word on a timeline for repair. Around the area, some big news for Alamance County yesterday as Governor Roy Cooper announced plans for a new lithium-ion battery manufacturing facility in Mebane. Sunlight Batteries USA will be investing $40 million into the project. It's slated to create more than 130 jobs. And in Durham, the city council is holding a work session at 1 p.m. today in council chambers. One big item on their agenda, council members will hear from a developer who wants to purchase a downtown parking deck and build apartments on the property. Get the full agenda at durhamnc.gov. Turning to state news now, a big law passed last year set North Carolina on a course toward a major reduction in carbon emissions by 2030. Duke Energy is proposing a plan to reach the goals set out by that law, but environmental advocates say that plan does not go far enough. 97.9 The Hill's Bryden McConnell has more.
House Bill 951 directs the North Carolina Utilities Commission to oversee reductions of carbon emissions from public utility companies, cutting them by 70% by the year 2030 and reaching carbon neutrality by 2050. Ashley Ward, who is a senior policy associate at the Duke Nicholas Institute for Environmental Policy, told 97.9 The Hill the law itself has the chance to set an example for other states in the region.
This is historic in this respect that this was a bipartisan agreement between our General Assembly and our governor. It's the first state in the Southeast to do such a thing. It's also really awesome because the outcome of this plan is going to impact everybody, not just in the state of North Carolina, but outside, beyond the state of North Carolina.
Duke Energy submitted its own plan to try and achieve the goals back in May. The proposal says the utilities giant would fully retire coal plants in North Carolina by the end of 2035. And improve a mix of renewable energy resources into Duke's use of fossil fuels. But there are climate advocacy groups who point to some aspects of Duke Energy's plan as unproven, inefficient, and not cost-effective to those who pay for the energy. Ward said part of the proposal to the State Utilities Commission in May includes Duke Energy relying on small-scale nuclear and hydrogen technologies for alternative energy sources. But she says since those methods are still early in their development and not widely available like other renewable energy, they could present a challenge to North Carolinians.
Not to say that those things are not going to turn out to be wonderful ways in which we can address our energy needs, but right now they're not where they need to be. And we have wind and solar that are commercially available. And so there's quite a few who feel like, you know, investing in solar and wind would be a much more reasonable approach to get to our goals of that 70% reduction by 2030.
Some climate advocacy groups felt so strongly, they formed a coalition and hired a consulting agency to submit an alternative plan to the State Utilities Commission. Synapsys Energy Economics shared a proposal in July that used the same resource planning model as Duke Energy, but ended up with very different results. Among them are significantly more reliance on solar power, imported wind power, and battery storage, compared to the construction of more infrastructure to burn natural gas. Those options align more with the goals of groups like NC Warren, a nonprofit whose mission is to tackle climate change. Policy coordinator Sally Robertson spoke with 97.9 The Hill after her organization and others issued a failing report card for Duke Energy's plan. One of the reasons why? Robertson said it went against one of the top goals NC Warren has.
Maximize renewable energy. As much solar, wind, energy storage as you can do. As much energy efficiency, so energy saving measures. Stop with the fossil fuels already.
Robertson said because Duke Energy's proposal includes the expansion of natural gas use, there could be similarly harmful elements to the energy transition to the current carbon emissions.
Methane is a much worse climate pollutant than carbon dioxide. It's about 100 times more potent over the first 10 years in the atmosphere. So it's methane, it's not carbon dioxide, and it's not on Duke's system. It's leaking where it's being drilled, it's leaking from pipelines, it's leaking from compressors and storage tanks. So that's not Duke's responsibility, so they don't have to count it.
Additionally, while Duke Energy presented its plan as keeping costs low to residents, the alternative proposals by Synapse would save ratepayers between $700 million and $2.4 billion more dollars. Ward said that especially when it comes to building more pipelines and framework for natural gas, the costs don't match up with the timeline of North Carolina's law requiring change.
Most infrastructure in the energy industry takes about 40 to 60 years to get to its return on investment. And so the concern here is that there would be a lot of investment in this capital-intensive infrastructure, which would be mostly borne by ratepayers, for them not to realize the benefit of that, because by 2050, we have to be carbon neutral.
The State Utilities Commission says it will begin an expert witness hearing on the corporation's plan on Tuesday, September 13th. You can find the full Duke Energy and Synapse Energy Economics plans on chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
In health news, positive trends on the COVID-19 front this week as hospitalizations continue to drop in North Carolina, down below 1,000 for the first time since early July. That comes despite a slight bump in COVID particles found in wastewater, though that number also remains well below where it was a month ago. More details on that at the State Health Department's website, ncdhhs.gov. Finally, we turn to elections, with the midterm coming up 2 months from today. Polls are suggesting it may be a better year for Democrats than we originally thought, as liberals and progressives are fired up to vote now over the Supreme Court's abortion decision in June. Here's public policy polling director Tom Jensen.
I think the big question is just whether Democrats can maintain their anger over the abortion decision. That, I think, is ultimately the biggest thing that sort of prompting a lot of this momentum for them. And I was thinking about it. I mean, those special elections in New York, where Democrats did so much better than probably would have been expected, those came more than 8 weeks after the abortion decision. So clearly that anger has been sustained for a long time already. We'll see if it's sustained for another 10 weeks. My guess is that it is. The fact that it's held up this long, it's something sort of similar to HB2 in North Carolina 6 years ago, where it didn't fall out of the news. You know, it's so hard for something to sort of stay on voters' minds now because we have such short attention spans, and there'll be a big story on Tuesday that's gone by Thursday. I've had several people in the last week ask me about the political fallout of the student loans decision. And what I think is going to happen with that is everybody who's mad about it, who's unaffected, they're going to be on to something else in 2 weeks. People who actually are positively affected by what the Biden administration is doing, those are the people who are going to be sort of taking that more into account and what they do in 2 months. Anyway, I think that's the big thing, is just that Republicans taking away people's rights through this abortion decision, that frame of taking away people's rights, which has often been so useful for Republicans, I think if Democrats can keep that in the forefront for another 10 weeks, that's going to be the key.
That's Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling speaking there. You can get the full conversation in the This Morning with Aaron Keck section of our website, chapelboro.com. It's time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Chapel Hill Tire. Big game tonight for second-ranked UNC women's soccer, as the Tar Heels are set to take on number 3 Duke in Durham. Technically a non-conference matchup between two of the nation's best teams, and they are evenly matched. Both the Tar Heels and the Blue Devils are 5-1 on the season. Both teams lost to top-ranked UCLA by the exact same score of 2-1. Tonight's game starts at 8 p.m. You can watch it live on the ACC network. Elsewhere in sports, some high honors for UNC coaches. Tar Heel men's golf associate head coach Matt Clark has been named the winner of this year's Strickland Assistant Coach of the Year Award as the top assistant golf coach in the nation. UNC volleyball head athletic trainer Meredith Petschauer has been inducted into the North Carolina Athletic Trainers Association's Hall of Fame, the 28th Hall of Famer overall. And UNC men's lacrosse has announced that former Tar Heel star Peter Murphy is coming back to serve as a volunteer assistant coach. And another former Tar Heel is receiving a big honor this weekend, too. George Carl will be inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame on Saturday in honor of his legendary NBA coaching career. A current Tar Heel player also just got a big honor as well. Junior women's basketball star Alyssa Usby has been chosen to play for Team USA at the 3-on-3 Under-23 Nations League Final in Romania next week. She'll be one of four players on the team. Meanwhile, UNC football continues to get ready for this Saturday's game against Georgia State. Tar Heels coming off a big win over App State, an exhilarating win, but also one that left a lot of questions, especially about a defense that gave up 40 points in the fourth quarter alone. Head coach Mack Brown said defensive coach Gene Chizik is not on the hot seat, but things do need to improve quickly. Here's Chizik talking about the defense's performance last week.
Earlier in the game, we gave up a couple of explosive plays, right? One pass, a 41-yard pass, and then we gave up a long touchdown run. Then I think we kind of settled in and started to play better probably midway through the second quarter, all the way through the third quarter. And we settled down. We saw, kind of had an idea of what they were doing. I thought we fit the run well. We weren't giving up any explosive plays. We were getting off the field. And then the fourth quarter, at that point, I think we had given up 21 points. And then the fourth quarter was an implosion, and it was a lot of things. And it was not on a single individual. It wasn't on a single group of players, D-line, linebackers, secondary. It was everybody.
That's Gene Chizik speaking there. Tar Heels back in action at Georgia State on Saturday. Kickoff time is at noon. And, of course, we've got all the action for you right here on 97.9 The Hill. Pregame coverage starting at 9 with Inside Carolina Live. And in baseball, a 5-game winning streak came to an end for the Durham Bulls last night as they lost to Scranton Wilkes-Barre 7-6. Bulls are back in action tonight, hosting the Rail Riders again at 6:35.